Hi, and welcome to Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. My name is Fee Sullivan, Senior Pastor, and I truly want to thank you for joining us today as we study the Word of God. It is our desire that your life be touched today, and we pray that the Lord will speak to you with this message. And at the conclusion of this message, we have some important information for you. Please join me now as we begin our message.
Allow me to go before the throne room of grace. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you and praise you. We glorify you. We magnify you. Lord, I'm asking now, God, that you would give us ears to hear and eyes to see what the Spirit is saying to the church. And we bless you and praise you in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. I've entitled this morning's message, Knowing the God of All Creation. Knowing the God of All Creation. As you can see just right on this little intro, that's just one of a trillion times a trillion times a trillion times a trillion galaxies that are in the cosmos. And yet God created all of them. Amen. And he created our solar system. And I remember science back when I was a kid. It started with Venus, I believe. Then it started with us, then Mars. Then I believe after Mars, then there's Jupiter, then there's Saturn, then there's Uranus, Neptune, and Pluto. But Earth is so unique because he made it perfect for us to exist. We have enough water, we have enough food, we have enough sunshine, we have enough darkness at night. I didn't talk about the evil. But we have everything to exist. And yet, there are billions and billions of people that do not know the God that created them. They don't know the God that created the whole entire universe. They don't know the God that created them in their mother's womb. So we have to look into the Word of God to find out, why is this so? And why is it important for us today to know him personally? Can I get an amen? He can't just be ink on pages. He can't just be in your Sunday school menu or program. He can't just be in, I'm coming to church just once a week. He's got to be every day of your life. Can I get an amen? And this is why I emphasize that this year in 2023, that we really press in and seek him. The Bible says, seek and knock, and you'll find him. The Bible also says that fathers who are evil can give good gifts to their sons. How much more our Heavenly Father will give us the Holy Spirit that ask for it. You see, one of the things that we need is not just a personal relationship with him, but we need to be empowered by the Holy Ghost. We need to be empowered by the Spirit of God, because our self-being, our human nature can only go so far and then we crash and burn. But we need the power of God in our lives. Can I get amen? Amen. And we need to operate in the prophetic. We need to speak those things that the Word of God says that are gifts from the Holy Spirit. But you ever wonder why there's so many people that just have no clue, have no desire about the things of God? And there are billions and billions around the world. Yet us, you and I, God has done something so unique and so profound. What he did is he called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. He quickened us, made us come alive. And so the Word of God is alive, sharper than a two-edged sword, able to reach down into the bone and marrow. Can I get amen? And so, if you have your Bibles, turn with me to Romans chapter 1. And once again, the message is called Knowing the God of All Creation. We need to know him. Can I get amen? Now look what God reveals to Paul, the apostle, who wrote to the Roman church. Let's go. The word of God's right there on the screen. Look at this. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness, because what may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them. You see, an unbeliever could never deny the existence of God. Why? Because man did not create this planet. Man did not create the air that they breathe, the water that they drink, the birds in the air, the animals of the field, the trees. There was a creator, and it was God Almighty. But look at this in verse 20. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Listen, mankind cannot stand before God on the day of judgment and say, I didn't know that you made all these things. No. He's going to say, there is no excuse. You were thrust out of your mother's womb, whom I created you in that womb. Look at verse 21. Because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image like corruptible man and birds and four-footed animals and creeping things. If you go to the nations of the world, they all have their own God. You go to India, and there's 360 million gods. But it's not the God of the Bible. It's not the true and living God. Look at this. Therefore, God also gave them up to uncleanness. In other words, God gave them over to their lusts of their hearts to dishonor their bodies among themselves, who exchanged the truth of God for the lie and worshiped and served the creature rather than the creator, who is blessed forever and amen. So Paul is speaking about the condition of mankind. From the day Adam and Eve fell to our present day, nothing has changed other than God is still saving us and pulling us out of darkness into his marvelous light. I want you to see this. We've all had the privilege of knowing God, someone who stands out above everything else in our minds. Can I get amen? Amen. Now, but the greatest privilege, saints of God, bestowed on any of us is the privilege of knowing God, the Lord Jesus Christ. How many are so blessed that God has revealed himself to us? That was the passion of the apostles Paul's life and should be the pursuit of everyone who claims Christ as Lord and Savior. Can I get amen? So Paul the apostle, his insatiable hunger for knowing Christ is recorded in the book of Philippians. Look what Paul wrote down in the Philippian church. Look at this. In Philippians 3:7, let's go there. But what things were gained to me, these things I count a loss for Christ. You got to remember, Paul was a Hebrew of the Hebrews. This Paul was the attorney of the day. He was a brilliant man, but everything that he acquired, he counted it all loss for the cause of Christ. Can I get amen? Look at verse 8. Yet indeed I also count all things loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish that I may gain Christ. I ask this question. All the things that you learned in life, can you count it all as rubbish to know who Christ is? That's Paul the apostle, one of the greatest apostles to have ever lived. Look at verse 9 up here. And be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him And here's the key. And the power, say that with me, and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death, if by any means I may attain the resurrection from the dead. So basically what Paul is saying here, he's learning to die to himself. Listen, until the age of 30, I was living for myself. Caught up in the street, caught up in the drugs, alcohol, all those ungodly things. But then when Jesus busted into my world, hallelujah, and drew me out of darkness into his marvelous light, once I knew who he was, I started allowing him to shed those things from me. The things that one time mattered to me, man, I remember I had over 500 R&B LPs and CDs and all that. And guess what? I got rid of all that because I wanted to be close to him. And I started loving praise and worship music. And that was one of the key elements that was transforming my life, was the worship and the praise. You see, saints, everything he valued before salvation, he now considered rubbish to Paul as this. Look at this, found in Philippians 3 and 8. Yet indeed, I also count all things loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ my Lord, from whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, that I may what? Gain Christ. Those things that I relinquished in my life, it's not that I had to, it's because I wanted to now. This is not about a law. Oh, you got to do this and you got to do that. You can't do this, you can't do that. Guess what? I shared it, I think, last week. Man, I used to have Charger season tickets, man. I was saved, but I would leave early to go catch that game. Slowly but surely, God was sanctifying me. God was putting it on my heart. And then one day God spoke to me and says, are you going to give me those now? And it was him that took them graciously from me. And I remember once that took place, he prepared ministry for me. You know why?
Because he didn't want no
other idols. He didn't want no idols. He didn't want sports. He didn't want anything in front, especially on Sundays, that I would acknowledge him and serve him with my whole heart. So look at this. Why do so many people not know God? It's a great tragedy, my friends, that so few people want to know God who created them. People reject him for several reasons. Oh, yes, they do. And look at this. Unredeemed society lives in spiritual darkness. Spiritual darkness. You know, there are a couple of times that we went at Plaza Bonita Mall just to find a gift for someone for Christmas. And during that time, the malls are crowded. And you look at the masses of people, and that's just an example that I'm saying. But you wonder, all these people here, do they know God? Have they been born again? Do they know them like God has revealed himself to me? I don't know that, but God knows who they are. But the statistics are that 0.1% around the world truly know God. That's why Jesus said, broad is the way to destruction and narrow is the road to those who find it. In other words, out of all the masses of people from creation, from Adam and Eve to our present day until Jesus comes, there's only going to be a handful that really get into heaven. And who are they? The ones that have repented, that have given their heart to God. They've been baptized. They love God with all their heart. They want to be in his presence. They come and worship. They praise him. Because there's a change now. And they become grafted in. They become the children of the Most High God. There's a difference that you have to come to church or I want to go to church. I'd rather want to go than have to go. Can I get amen?
Amen.
I want to go because I love God. Not because someone's there telling me, you got to go. I remember when we were children, and I love my mom and dad, but they used to drop us off at church. And then I would come home with welts on my hands because the nuns would, bam, would give me welts on my hands just for talking out loud. I never wanted to go back. Matter of fact, I started hating the church because of that. And God didn't save me till I was 30. I would never walk into a church because it left an impression on me. And then I found out that God truly loves me. He doesn't hate me. People will show you a wrong side of God sometimes. But that's not God. You see, my friends, many haven't heard about God or His Son who made it possible for them to be saved and know the Father. And that's why our faithfulness is to the Great Commission. You see, how many of you can honestly say you've had a true, real encounter with God? All of us in here, huh? I would say the majority of us in here. Well, the reason why I had Mike come up and share it, because he was doing it biblically. He, you know what? He shared the gospel. And the word of God says right up here, look at this, in Mark 16, 15 through 18. And he said to them, go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved. Did you catch that? I'm glad Jesus wrote that. Your Bible has red writing? Okay, these are the words of Christ. He who believes and is baptized will be saved. But he who does not believe will be condemned. Wow. So all these billions of people that refuse to believe God. Bible says Jesus came into this world to save the world because the world's already condemned. But he came to save us from this condemned world. You know, when Adam and Eve fell, sin entered into the world. And when sin entered into the world, death entered into the world. This is why we need a Savior. Can I get an amen? Look at this. And these signs shall follow that believe. Those who believe. Look at this. In my name, they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. What? Look at this. They will take up serpents. And if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. And they will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. Now, no one's telling you to go home and drink bleach. No. And if they drink anything deadly, you have... See, the English doesn't give us the true meaning. But if you look at it in the Greek, that means all these false religions that you take in, you will refute them and reject them. Why? Because the truth is in you. In other words, you can't get intoxicated on that. It won't get past the Holy Spirit living in you. And lay hands on the sick. How many of you lay hands on the sick and saw them recover? Oh, come on. That's the Great Commission, amen? And we should take advantage of every opportunity, saints of God, to shine the light of the gospel of Christ into the darkness. Can I get amen? So people can hear and believe. All it takes is faith. All it takes is to step out in faith and believe that what you say about Christ, it'll be sown into their hearts. And when you are finished completing talking with them, start praying for them. Why? Because the enemy will come and try to snatch it out of their heart. That's how fast the enemy works. And so, let's look at this. Many people have no interest in knowing God. Why? Why many people have no interest of knowing God? Well, we have answers to that in the Word of God. Paul wrote it to the Romans. Look at this in Romans 3:10. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none who understands. There is none who seeks after God. Let me just say this. Until God came to us and did this, quickened us, we weren't coming to Him. See, God is the one that initiates the contact with us. Why? Because in our own self, in our own human nature, The Bible's true. No one seeks after God. Listen, before you got saved, were you waking up and praising Him? Huh? Oh, I'm going to fast and pray. I'm going to call my prayer partner. No. Man, when am I going to get lit up again? That was my motto. Oh, my stash is running out. I got to go get some more and re-up. Oh, you remember those words, no? You remember? We didn't have a mind for God. None of us did. But when He comes in supernaturally and quickens you, whoo, hallelujah, then He does the miraculous. But let's read what God says. There is none who seeks after God. They all have turned aside. They have together become unprofitable. There is none who does good, no, not one. Show me one person that does good, and I will put it up to the Word of God. Now, look what's in us. Paul goes further. It's in us automatically. You know, we may leave church like, praise the Lord, God bless you, amen. And then someone cuts you off. Here comes, the window goes down, and then, the finger comes up, the whole works. Am I talking to someone? Oh, come on. But you just left church and said, praise the Lord. Well, look what God's word says right up here. Their throat is an open tomb. With their tongues, they have practiced deceit. The poison of their apps is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Let me just say this. If you're still cursing, if you have still profound cursing, you need to repent. You know why? Because you are then self-deceived. Because God don't want you cursing anymore. Can I get an amen? God said, live holy, for I'm holy. Without holiness, no man shall see the Lord. If you're struggling, admit it to God. Say, God, I'm struggling here. See, only the Holy Spirit can bridle your tongue. The Bible says in the book of James that the tongue is full of venom. It's like a snake ready to go. Oh, come on. That's right. I'm just talking about me. You guys are all, ooh, yeah, tiptoe through the tulip. You guys walk through the daisy bush all day long. Full of cursing and bitterness. Look at that. Their feet are swift to shed blood. You say, what? Ready to smack someone. When you can just calm it down, just walk away. But sometimes our pride wants to get in the way. Your pride could get you shot. In the day that we live in now. Huh? Oh, come on. I'd rather just walk away. It's not worth it. I got a lovely wife. I got a church that I still need to feed until He comes. You got to walk with wisdom now. Look at this. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways. And the way of peace they have not known. You see, the unbeliever doesn't know God, so they're restless. Up until 4 in the morning. And look at this. Those ones that are cursing, those ones that are angry, there is no fear of God before their eyes. So if you don't fear God, you're just going to chew it. And not even care. Not even think about, man, look how God looks at it. Help us, Jesus. Let's take a quick time out. Father, whoever's struggling in this area right now, I pray, Lord, that You would deliver them. In the name of Jesus. Oh God, help them, oh God. Hallelujah. Lord, eradicate that language from them. It can bring It could bring division. It could bring chaos. It could bring anger. And God, it could bring deception. Well, bind it right now in Jesus' name. You see, saints, they love the world and all that it offers. I'm talking about unbelievers. The avalanche of information that confronts them daily keeps them from seeking the truth found in the Bible. This can happen to believers if they become distracted when they stop desiring the things of God. So as believers, if the world has more of an effect on you, it will cause you to get lukewarm. And that's where God says, if you become lukewarm, I will spit you out of my mouth. He said, I'd rather have you cold or hot. But if you're lukewarm, yeah, I come to church on Sunday, but I'm out here still, man, doing my thing. Doing my thing. All right, keep living like that. You're deceiving yourselves. Can I get amen? You're deceiving yourselves. And God will be 150,000 miles away from your heart. You will not feel his anointing. You will not feel his presence. How many want to feel his presence? My goodness. Thank you, God. Look at this. Some people are unwilling to pay the price required to know God more deeply. There are Christians who think that salvation is all there is. Oh, I'm saved. Now I could go do my thing. Yeah, but I'm saved. But I'm saved. You're deceiving yourself. You're deceiving yourself. Let me just say this. For all those who still dabble in alcohol and weed and cigarettes and all that, that'll just end your life quicker. That's all I'm saying. But we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. So why should we want to defile our temple? You see, in the Old Testament, the Holy Ghost would be in the tabernacle. But when Jesus came, we have become now the tabernacle of God. Can I get an amen? Hallelujah. We are the vessels carrying the Holy Spirit. And so we should walk in purity and holiness. For without holiness, no man shall see the Lord. That's found in Hebrews. I got that word coming up. I went a little ahead of myself here. You see, they never grow spiritually because they're unwilling to give the time and effort required to learn and to know through the Word of God. The Word of God will teach us. There's some of you may not come back next week. That's okay. I'm called to preach truth. Can I get amen? I've come to preach deliverance. I've come to set the captives free, Jesus said. And he will use vessels like us to deliver his word. Can I get an amen? Look at this. Knowing God is progressive. The Lord is infinitely beyond us, but he's revealed what he wants us to know about himself in his word through the Lord Jesus Christ and by his Holy Spirit. Amen? You see, my friends, at salvation, we begin with a very basic knowledge about him. But that's not where we should stay. Can I get an amen? We shouldn't stay there. Look what Peter wrote here in 2 Peter 3:17. You therefore, beloved, since you know this beforehand, beware lest you fall from your own steadfastness. This is a warning. He says, okay, you're walking, but you can easily fall. Beware lest you fall from your own steadfastness, being led away with the error of the wicked. You see, the wicked wants to always lead you away from God. So you know what? I found out right away, there's some folks in my life back then, I had to cut loose. I had to cut loose because they were taking me down. They were bringing me back to that old brother. It wasn't Brother Fee, it was the old Fee. I had to cut them loose. Because they weren't edifying God. They were spewing out bleepity, bleepity, bleep. And still smoking and toking and still drinking. I said, man, God, I can't be around them no more. And when you give those people to God, say, God, I can't be like this no more. Guess what? He'll bring beautiful people like you into your life. Can I get amen?
Amen.
To help you grow. To help you understand the love of God, the grace of God, the mercy of God. Look at this. But he says, but grow. Say that with me. But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. To him be the glory both now and forever. Amen. And so, saints, every time we open his word, praise God, God reveals more of his nature, his attributes, and ways to us, to you and I, so that little by little our understanding and love for him will start growing and growing and growing. How many want to grow? Amen. Keep coming and learning. Open up your word at home. Attend men and women's Bible study. Matter of fact, we'll be in Genesis this Tuesday. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. You see, right now we're hampered by our fallen minds and bodies. These bodies are still fallen. Did you know that? We still live in sinful bodies. This is why God gives us ammunition to combat that. Can I get amen? But when we finally leave our earthly flesh and enter heaven, we'll be perfect, pure, holy, and unhindered by sin. How many can't wait for that day? Oh, come on. I see one person. Okay, me, two. But only by our knowledge and understanding that we will know. Can I get an amen? Look at this. God desires that we know him. Can I get an amen? We understand that. Well, the word of God exhorts us. God tells us that we should desire him, that we should want to know who he is. And look what I found in Jeremiah 9:23. Thus says the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his own wisdom. Let not the mighty man glory in his might, nor let the rich man glory in his riches. But let him who glories glory in this, that he understands and knows me. That's what God wants. He wants us to know him. Despite of your social status, despite of your financial status, despite of your educated status, he just wants to know you. He says that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord, exercising loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these I delight, says the Lord. Listen, if God delights in this, shouldn't we delight in that? Look what Hosea says right up here. For I desire mercy, not sacrifice, and the knowledge of God more than burnt offerings. Praise God. Jesus said it best right here. Look at this. Jesus said to him, have I been with you so long and yet have not known me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. So how can you say, show us the Father? God revealed himself, hallelujah, to these apostles, to these disciples. And in our day and time, he has revealed his son to us through the power of the Holy Spirit. Can I get amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Look at this. So what does it mean to know God? What does it mean to know him? Oh yeah, I'm a Christian. Yeah. I come to church. Yeah, I attend a Bible study every now. No, there's more to it than that. There's more to it than that. Look what Paul wrote to the Philippian church. He said it best. But what things were gain to me, I have counted loss for Christ. Are you catching that? Yet indeed I count all things lost for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, from whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish. I'm reiterating this scripture. You know why? Because there's things in our life we need to count as rubbish now. Things that have attached to us. Things that not glorify God. And guess what? We all think of the big sins. We all think alcohol, you know, adultery, all this. No. Sometimes it's just lying and gossiping and cheating. Those things. We forget about those things that we keep it under the radar. But God knows all things, doesn't he? You need to count all that stuff as rubbish. If there's nothing good to say about somebody, say nothing at all. Can I get amen? Amen. We should be a vessel to help someone grow, to say praise the Lord, to bless. If God has blessed you, bless someone. Help them. Help them grow. Pray for them. And if they share some things with you, don't let the whole church know. Amen. Can I get amen?
Amen?
Keep it like this and pray. Say, God, I'm going to keep that brother. I'm going to keep that sister in prayer because I know you're going to do something wonderful in their life. You got to think the best for people. Can I get amen? Not the worst. We're ready to criticize. We're ready to downplay. We're ready to reject. We're ready to throw out. But did God throw us out? No. He saved us, didn't he? Look at this. And be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God, that I may know him in the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death. Once again, dying to self. Sometimes we just got to die to self. Yeah, I know, but I don't want to say I'm sorry. Well, say sorry anyway, even if it was not your fault. Be a peacemaker. Just be a peacemaker. You know what happened next door? Go ahead. We didn't put nothing on her. You know why? Because God is good to us. We don't need a sign to come in here. God already wrote the sign of his love on our heart by faith. We're born from above. Praise God. Look at James says, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. God is saying, cleanse ourselves, wash ourselves. Can I get amen?
Amen.
Be about our Father's business. I'll tell you, something unique is happening to this worship team. I just sense a presence of the anointing of God upon them like no other time. There's been a breakthrough. There's been a breakthrough. They always have been talented. They've always been gifted. But when the anointing comes, whoo, hallelujah, he takes you to another dimension. Can I get amen? That's when yokes can be broken. That's when chains, hallelujah, can fall off. Can I get amen? I'm so blessed. I'm blessed what God is doing in the midst of his people. And I'm praying that in a few months, we're going to have to put out more chairs in here. Can I get amen?
Amen.
You know why? Because God's pouring out his presence. And so I ask this question. Who is responsible for whether or not we're known by God? Who is responsible? Is it you? Is it someone else? It is God all by himself. And I got the scriptures to back that up. Look at this right here in John 10. But you do not believe because you are not of my sheep. He was telling that to the Pharisees, the religious folks. They were the ones that gave God the hardest time. The religious folks, believe it or not. Look at this. But you do not believe because you are not of my sheep, as I said to you. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Look at that. I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all. And no one's able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. I am my Father one. Somebody got to give a shout of praise. Hallelujah. We are the sheep of his fold. Can I get an amen? I'm telling you, there is no better place to be in the shepherd's fold. Hallelujah. where he gives us enough to graze. He gives us enough, hallelujah, on this earth to praise him and to worship him, to exalt him, to magnify him. And then he gives us the desire to share it with others.
Amen.
We don't share it because we have to. We share it because we want to. And we don't want to see no one perish. Can I get amen?
Amen?
Hallelujah. Look at this right up here. To know God, we have to open up. We have to open up. You see, my friends, he reveals himself to us in his word and by the power of the Holy Spirit. But the only way we can perceive it is by opening ourselves up in complete dependence upon him. He has to be our all in all. Can I get an amen? Every time we read what God says about himself in his word and believe it, we need to apply it and understand him, and then he will deepen our understanding. Look what he says right here in Matthew. And he said to them, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. Can you honestly say you love the Lord, your God, that way? Or is there idols in front of him that you love more? Well, let me just say that. Here's the good news. Kick the idols off the throne of your heart, put Christ on it, and man, he will explode in your life. It's as simple as that. Whatever you love more than God, kick it off your throne of your heart. Say, you know what? I'm tired of this. Whatever it may be, I kick that off. I'm going to put Christ on my throne.
Amen.
And God, I want you to rule and reign in my heart, in my mind, in my soul. And watch God. Watch God do something that you cannot do for yourself. He will explode joy. Man, I'm talking joy that you cannot comprehend. He will ignite in you. The corners of your mouth will be pinned to your ears, and you are going to have a hallelujah moment. And he will stay on you forever and forever and ever like that. You see, my friends, it's this. It's in brokenness that we discover truths about God that we wouldn't know in any other way. You have to come broken before God. You know, we always give the invitation. We never know where that's going to land. We do it because we want to be faithful in that. But I'm always saying that you have to repent. You have to come broken before God. You got to allow God. You have to allow God to show you your sin, and then you would give it to him. Man, God, you just showed me all the junk in my trunk. I give it to you now, God. I come before you humbly, oh God, because I can't do this in my own strength. None of us can. And watch him take it like this and replace it with something beautiful, holy, something that you will want to shout it from the mountaintop. Look what God has done for me. Hallelujah. And you know what? You know it's a blessing to me? Because I'm looking at what God has done in you guys' lives.
Amen.
You wouldn't be here if you didn't desire God.
That's right.
Oh, come on. You'd be home watching the playoffs. And I'm sorry for your team last night. It's just the way it goes. Sorry. So sorry. I won't go there right now. Let's move on. Saints of God, in trials, difficulties, and heartaches, we're helpless. And we must embrace ourselves to the Lord for his support. Can I get amen? We need to run to him. We should never shun the hardships of life because God uses them to reveal himself to us in a very personal way. Don't run from your trial. We talked about that a couple weeks ago. Don't run from it. Embrace it. Look what King David wrote here. The sacrifices of God are of a broken spirit and a broken and contrite heart. Oh God, you will not despise. You see, when you come broken before God, that's when God says, okay, now Now I can use you. Now I can bless you. Why? Because we put pride underneath our foot. And we want to do it God's way. We don't want to have a Burger King life, having it my way. We want to do it God's way. Can I get amen? So my friends, what's involved in knowing God other than reading the Bible? What's involved in that? What's involved in that? Well, number one, the unbeliever needs to do this. They need to receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. That's step number one. Okay, so us here, praise God, we've already passed that step. Now we keep going further, upward, onward. Can I get amen? His death on the cross is the only thing that spans the gap between sinners and a relationship with the Holy God. Number two, be interested in God's interest. Involve yourself in the things of God. You know what I love about this worship team? They're involved in how many ministries, sister? At least four.
At least four. We do more
than that. But... And so Tuesdays, Thursdays, Fridays, Saturdays, they're giving their... sing that song one day. I give myself away. They've given themselves away. Why? Because God has given them talents and gifts, and they're not hoarding it. Can I get an amen? They're giving them their lives away, and we need to give our life away too. Can I get an amen? Mike shared. He shared at that moment. He shared Christ. And just by that small testimony and what the act of kindness and what you shared with her, God gave her a sign to believe when she got back her house. You see what God will do? And we will never know unless we step out in faith. Brother Top Gun, Sister Leah, all the lives you are touching right now with all those ministries. God is doing this. He's recording it all. He's writing the story of your lives. And when you see Him face to face, you're going to hear Him saying, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." Why? Because they've given themselves away. They surrender to God. They're not hoarding it. They don't want to be on K-Love winning an award. They'd rather get the reward when they see Christ face to face. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
He concerns and desires should be ours as well. Look at this. So, how can we know God? How can we know God? The Lord is one who takes the initiative by revealing Himself through the Word. It's by grace, His grace, that we're saved. And it's also by grace, saints of God, that we learn to know Him in response to His self-revelation. And so, this is what He did to you and I in the Word of God. This is how He does it. Right up here, look at this in Philippians. And you, I love the King James Version because the King James Version gives you a little bit more unction to it. And you hath He quickened. Quickened means He made us come alive. Who were dead in trespasses and sins. Where in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince and power of the air. That the spirit that now works in the children of disobedience. What does that mean? That means the unbelieving world is walking in disobedience. But you and I, God quickened that we would become alive. Hallelujah. It's by God's grace. It's by God's grace. And so, saints, we must read and listen to God's word. Allow the Holy Spirit to interpret and apply it to our lives. Praise God. And I'm going to, my last point, then we're going to pray. Be willing to accept his invitation and follow his commands. I'm speaking right now to YouTube and Facebook because we're going to log off in a moment. But all that I've been saying here boils down to one word that the prophets of old and Jesus and then the apostles throughout the Word of God, Old Testament, New Testament, the key word to be born from above is you must repent. You must turn from your wicked ways and turn to the living God. It says repent. And some of you are probably saying, where do you see that in Scripture? It's right up here. Then Peter said to them, repent! And let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins. That means forgiveness of sins. And you shall. Said you, it didn't say you might. It didn't say maybe. It didn't say, well, you know what? Keep living a good life and I'll text you when I'm ready. No, this is now. That's a now word. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise, look at this, is to you and to your children and to all afar off, as many as the Lord God will call. You know what blessed my heart today? That scripture right there came alive to my eyes today. It says, and to your children. Leah's son was singing worship. Can I get an amen? That's a promise to her. That's a promise. Believe God's promise. Amen. The family that got baptized, all their children were up here. Yeah. That's a promise. That's a promise. God wants to do more for you. He's got so much more for you. But you got to open up and let him do the miraculous in your life. You got to take your steps of faith. You got to walk toward him. You got to lay aside every weight and sin that easily besets you and press toward the prize and the call in Christ Jesus. God has much more. God wants you to live a sanctified life, a holy life unto him. Don't get caught up in the world. The world will deceive you. The world will let you down. The world will put you in their car, drive you to a corner, open up the door, and kick you out. But God won't do that. God is the one that increases elevation in your life. Can I get an amen? That's right. I'd rather get elevated by God than man. Because man would go, what did I do? And God will say, look what I'm doing. Can I get an amen? Come on. Look what God's doing in your family's lives right now. Don't give up. Don't throw in the towel. God has so much. I'm going to ask everyone to stand. Sister Leah exhorted us in a worship song today. And it was miracles. How many want that miracle to happen? Man, I saw a lot of hands come up. Come up to the altar right here. Come on up. We're a family here. We're a family here. Hallelujah. Before we pray for one another, come on, before we pray one another, we want to give an invitation to receive Christ as we sign off on YouTube and Facebook. If you're listening for the first time, second time, third time, maybe you've never given your life to Jesus. I'm going to ask the Amazing Grace family that's here to pray with me, to pray for you. That God will do a miracle in your life and that God will save you and give you a heart to repent and to cry out to God. If that's you, bow your heart and your head with me and pray this prayer by faith. Dear Lord Jesus, I confess to you, God, that I'm a sinner. I do believe on your death, burial, and resurrection. I believe that you died for me, and the blood that you shed on the cross will cleanse me from all my sins. Lord Jesus, I ask you now, God, to forgive me for every sin. Come into my heart. Make me a new person in Christ Jesus. And from this day on, I will do my best to honor you and to follow you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name. Amen. Come on, give God a shout of praise. Hallelujah. Woo, hallelujah. Woo, shout out to Kotorobosia.
The Bible says, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are afar off, as many as the Lord God will call. And that's our exhortation to you. We have many ministries available here for you at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. For a complete list of them, and to download all of our messages and sermons, please log on to our website at www.acts2-38-39.com or email us at amazing_grace@cox.net. From all of us here at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship, may God bless you and thank you for listening.